Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedia coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
Hey, production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel all over the world. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ will meet you where you are, whether you are a longtime believer that may have fallen away or new to the gospel. Our Lord is living. He is risen, and he will meet you where you are. He wants a direct relationship with you. So check out our resources, books, worship bands, preachers to listen to. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. And if this ministry blesses you in any way, you can click the donate now and partner with us. We're looking still for some recommendations to get some new equipment. We're hoping to get a new camera. The Perrys had this cool setup where they put these on mic stands. So they were on their couch and they were just kind of lounging. I was like, that looks cool.
Well, see, that's not a good idea because you start to fall asleep when I tell my stories. If you are laying on a couch,
you're a little risky.
Yeah, you'll start snoring.
Well, see, but she had her feet on his lap, so he could have easily like pinched her toe. She's starting to sleep.
Oh, I like that idea. Make sure you comment and let us know what you think about the devotional or about what it is that we are talking about, or maybe you have some unique perspective that you would like to share with others. Make sure and put that in the comment, whether you're watching on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, X, or, well, maybe not Rumble today because for whatever reason it says that it's struggling just a little bit for some reason. Rumble is just one of those platforms. It's new. Right. They're working out the bugs.
I don't know. Trump's selling to social today.
Yes,
I heard. Market today.
Is he selling it or is he going public with it? I think he's going public with it.
Same thing.
Yeah, well.
Dilutive shares.
Yeah. To get some bail money.
Yeah, get some bail money.
Those people, I'm trying not to use that call people crazy. I'm practicing because apparently that's what my kids want me. That's the only thing they're saying.
Is don't call people crazy.
Don't call people stupid, crazy, lunatics, demonic, evil.
Demonic is fair.
Can I?
Yes.
Can I
do
that? Okay, I can hang on to that one. Thank you. Make sure and let us know if you have any prayer requests so that towards the end of the show, what we'd like to do is pray for anyone who has a prayer request. So put that into the comments also. That would be amazing. Next thing is you want to go to our sponsors like LifeWise. I have the Clarity right here, and I just want to show you what it's like. Now I do this, and then I can't talk for a few minutes. But you open up the package, and you take out the little stamp. Then you put it on your tongue, and then it begins to dissolve, and it restores, restores your clarity.
Assuming you ever had some, right? It does assume the person started with a little
bit of clarity. Is that directed
towards
me? No. But go to LifeWise.
There are menopausal women that suffer from brain fog.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much it can do for us, but we can try.
Use the address I have there on the screen, livelifewise.tv. That will send you to the website where you can look at the products and get some of your own. And then also look at StreamYard if you want to do one of your own broadcasts. Maybe a family member has been talking about doing their own podcast, or maybe they want to share their hobby or make some money off of sharing one of their skills, that you could take those videos that you create and put them into a platform where you can sell access to them. So all of that is possible with StreamYard. Make sure you go into your Bibles and open up to Acts 21. We'll be reading 10 through 14. Acts 21, 10 through 14. And for now, I'm going to read from Tozer for the Christian Leader for March 22nd. The title is We Languish for Men. It's Acts 12, 21, 13 that he's referencing, and it's the New King James, so bear with me. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Tozer says, The church at this moment needs men, the right kind of men, bold men. We languish for men who feel themselves expendable in the warfare of the soul, who cannot be frightened by threats of death, but because they have already died to the allurements of this world. Such men will be free from the compulsions that control weaker men. They will not be forced to do things by the squeeze of circumstances. Their only compulsion will come from within or from above. This kind of freedom is necessary if we are to have prophets in our pulpits again instead of mascots. I like that. These free men will serve God and mankind from motives too high to be understood by the rank and file of religious retainers who today shuttle in and out of the sanctuary. They will make no decisions out of fear, take no course out of a desire to please, accept no service for financial considerations, perform no religious act out of mere custom, nor will they allow themselves to be influenced by the love of publicity or the desire of reputation.
Oh Lord, what would it take for me to be that kind of man or woman? Do in me whatever work you need to do today, and that I may die to the allurements of this world and serve you with high motives. Amen.
Amen.
So I listened to a really interesting podcast this morning, and it caught my eye because the pastor was saying, do you feel unordinarily sleepy and foggy? Are you in a brain fog? And I was like, and it wasn't one of my fitness videos, right. You know? So I was like, okay, it's not talking about like hormone therapy. It was a pastor. And I was like, okay, I clicked on it. And he's like, listen, there is something over the earth right now, over God's people, that is trying to put us in a stupor. And he's like, I'm not talking about a conspiracy theory. Okay, yeah, there's all that weird stuff happening with the 5G. Because we're getting a little nuttier day by day, he says, but there's really a demonic, almost like a trance. He's like, I break the spell of hypnosis. He's like, there's sort of this trance that's coming over all people, but it's especially affecting God's people, that is like the death by a thousand cuts. Mm-hmm. So a couple of things that he pointed out, one in which I felt very strongly even before he said it, that the Lord was telling me, is, as Tozer is saying, die to the allurements of this world. As people have heard, we've talked about some difficulties that our daughter has gone through. And I felt like the obsession with trying to fix it, I lost focus of everything else in light of that allurement, basically that conundrum, basically. And it was a conundrum because there were so many choices to make and so many decisions to make and so many rules to implement and so many changes, you know. And then meanwhile, in the midst of it, the Lord kept saying, write your book.
Yeah.
And at some point I wanted to tell the Lord, hello,
wait 1 minute.
Can you wait 1 minute? Like, why are you throwing me in the middle of this thing and then keep telling me to write the book?
Right.
And listening to this pastor, he brought such clarity to me because he was basically saying that a lot of God's remnant are being called to a higher purpose. Mm-hmm. And so then the enemy's attacking with an underbelt hit, which is whether it's distraction, temptation, social media he's like, instead of ministering the gospel, we're scrolling through our phones. He's like, he will do anything to just distract us, because if he can distract us, then we won't achieve our calling. And he's like, you should have heard his prayer for sleep. He said, Lord, I pray a restorative sleep over your people. Mm-hmm. This anxiety, this curse on the earth right now is preventing people from sleeping. Without sleep, people can't think clearly. And I was like, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I think when you can identify and call it out, it's easier to get over it. So that's why I made a commitment to the book and, you know, spent a small fortune to try to accomplish it, because the Lord was making it clear to me that your way through this storm is going after your purpose, that there is a strength that the Lord provides when we stay on track. So you've just been hit with what I've been hit with, which is the kids saying to you, oh my God, you've got to stop. You know what I mean? And so this is now forcing you, oh my God, how do I now navigate this? Because I know this is my calling. I know I am a man of God. I know I can't let anything stop me, but now I've got this to manage. And I think especially in our case, we're very blessed to have gotten over some other obstacles. And so it's clear to me, and this may be the case for some of you, that the kids are our greatest Achilles heel. Because we cannot control them.
That is good.
We cannot control how they behave. We cannot control what they think. It's the way that the enemy can attack us that is almost completely out of our control. Because we can control our own temptations and lusts and pursuit of holiness and serving the Lord and all these other things. But he could distract us and tempt us and deviate us through our children.
Wow.
And so that's a complicated problem.
Truer words have never been spoken. I had this thought while I was at Bodie reading the Bible. I'm not sure if God gave it to me or it's just something that just kind of occurred to me. Is what has been happening in the church over the last several years, and of course, and apparently during A.W. Tozier's time, is that people get comfortable and they essentially fall asleep and close their eyes to what's happening in the world. And then they close their eyes to what's happening in their church because they don't want to upset anybody. Right. And so they close their eyes and they pretend it's not happening and say, you know what, in your messages, can you just talk about the verses that I talk about love? Can you just talk about the verses that are easy for us to
hippie Jesus
to take? Same thing with what's happening in the schools. So there's many parents. And again, this is not a put down. It'll sound like one, but it's not. But there's many parents that are asleep and have been for many, many years because they have to go to work. Because they have a lot of driving to do and with these sports and things like that they are so busy doing other things that these things have been occurring for a very long period of time and they continue to occur. But now when you bring them up, they go, no, I don't want to hear what's happening. I want to be asleep. And so this analogy came to me is that I'm used to this where I have to do things
that other people won't do.
Other people won't do. As a police officer, we do a lot of work at night where the evils are most likely occurring while people are asleep. And I with a bunch of other men and women throughout the United States, are tasked with doing things while people are sleeping that are ugly. And then sometimes when they see what we have to do, wrestle with somebody, tase them, shoot them, choke them out in the past, not now, but now, you know, the karate restraint, they go, oh, no, how do you dare? You can't. I don't want to see that. And it being the panic.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we're at. So it's navigating those waters to the, and I've learned from you and it actually have been way better, but now the children, the same thing, they're saying, but can you just do it differently? And now how do we bring that up? And I think even pastors are trying to navigate this now because they see that the church is in trouble. Like, oh man, all I've been talking about is, you know, Matthew and, Mark and the easy books and haven't gotten
some of those have like chapters.
Yeah, but they skip over that part. But you know, it doesn't mean that I stop. I just need to maybe change a few things, tweak it here and there, but yet continue
because it's
with the battle.
Consistent with the same things I had told you early on.
Yes,
it is just, and it's the same thing. Actually, we hear every day on the news where you know it's. We're constantly saying, can we just have a civil dialogue that we point to the problem without name calling? Mm-hmm. You know, basically lay out the conflict, lay out the solution, lay out the lies without saying you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're crazy, you're, you know.
So I have this example that we saw in Congress, I think it was a couple of days ago. AOC questioning Bobulinski, who is one of Hunter's business partners. And she says, have you ever seen it with your own eyes, the President Biden violate any laws? She asked that question. And he says, yes. And then he goes to say, you know, racketeering, FISA, you know, it goes in name on a bunch of things.
Foreign agent registration.
Yeah. I mean, all of these things. And she goes, wait a minute. And she's trying to talk over him and not letting him answer. And so these are the things that are occurring even in the school district. They're saying, we want transparency. That's what their signs are holding up. But it's about HR issues that are, it's against the law for the district to tell why certain people's contracts have not been renewed. So I, as a private citizen, have knowledge of why. And so I make that, I go, you want a printer? I'm going to tell you what it is. They go, you can't. I go, but you're asking. I mean, you're railing against the district about them not being transparent. They can't. So here is why they're not being renewed. And now they scream bloody murder, but you can't do that. But you were just asking us to. I think that's an unfortunate problem. Oh, no, I know what my question was. So my question is, you know, people want to say, how dumb is AOC to ask a question that she doesn't know the answer to? How dumb is she to ask a question realizing that he does know? And so when you say that, they're going, you see, you're calling her dumb. Well, that is.
But you could say that same thing without calling her dumb.
Really?
Absolutely. I don't name call. It's very uncommon in DC to name call. Hmm. You will not get your point across. People will stop hearing you. Because
so is that where they have the problem with President Trump? Because he's like me, where I come from.
Yeah.
A locker room, yeah. A police officer. This is how we talk. Like, why are you so stupid?
We don't do that in DC.
Oh, no.
Never. You never name call. Because that means you're uncivilized. Because if you can't, yeah, because honestly, and that's the way I've always felt, if you can't win your argument on the merits, that's when you start name calling. You have to be able to win the argument on the merits of the argument. It's also a legal tendency. So you can make the same claim, like, why would AOC ask a question she does not know the answer to when it could potentially box her in? It's the opposite of the answer she expected and served our point. You don't have to comment on her intelligence to say that.
Well, Bob Alinsky did say that this is one, and oh my gosh, I can't remember which one it was. I want to say racketeering, but I think it's something else.
FARA, the Foreign Agent Registration Act. That he was acting as a foreign agent,
yeah,
but had not registered.
Yeah, one more. But let's just say that, let's say racketeering or FARA. And she says, well, that's not against the law. That's not a crime. And he's like, look at that. He goes, wait a minute. That is a crime. And everybody that, and that's where I think the dumb or stupid.
No, but you could say she doesn't even know how to correctly cite the law. Hmm. The insults are just commentary. Hmm. They're unnecessary to achieve a point. Same
Rico.
Thing. Sorry. Rico.
It was Rico.
Kelly's got your number.
Yeah, man. Kelly, I love our wife because I know I can go to them. It's like, I'm phoning a friend. But yeah, it was Rico. He goes, Rico. And she goes, Rico's not against the law or it's not a crime. And she says, it's a category. And he goes, yeah, a category of crimes.
That's weird.
But it really is hard in those moments like that. I mean, but she says it like so matter of factly, like, it's not a crime. She says it with her thing,
yeah.
Her hands and stuff like that. How do you nod? I mean, is it,
you just
is
say
it really
that
hard?
Yeah.
I mean, really that easy to not?
It really is. It is. It doesn't occur to me to insult somebody.
Wow. We have two different.
And I think, and that is, I think you're exactly right. I think that's why people hate Trump. Because he just seems unsophisticated that he can't get his argument across without name calling.
Unsophisticated. See, that's name calling in my because I would say that the majority of people in the United States.
That's why he resonates.
We talk that way. Like, why are you being such a dummy? Like, don't be stupid.
But that's why it resonates with so many people. But it's also why it does not with others.
It's like calling somebody, and just calm down, everybody, when I say this, but that's like calling somebody gay. Like my kids will say, why are you being so gay? But it's not that they're homosexual.
But you mean it when you say crazy and dumb and stupid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not a fair analogy.
Okay, you're right. You got me there.
Oh yeah, see, Carrie's saying it does. It seems like they don't have a command of the English language. A command of the English language or of the arguments you're trying to make. So, like when you can't finish a thought or you can't complete an argument, you also resort to name calling. So, if you're not able to articulate what she does wrong, I'm not saying you. I'm saying anybody. When a person can't articulate what the problem is with the other, what the other person just said. They're like, that's just stupid, because you can't, it's difficult to clearly articulate that is wrong. So you could easily say in the current struggle, the school board, the unions, and those that are in defense of, that are against the current school board and its policies are making up lies. They're saying things that did not happen. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that to manipulate the public into believing a narrative. You didn't insult anybody by saying that.
Right.
And it's absolutely true.
So you know, I do that in my reports to the courts.
You do it all the time.
Because I do want to call them stupid.
And you don't. It's a great example. You do it every day to Sunday.
You are absolutely right. I don't know why it's so much easier, because these people just really have me. Really angry.
I'd like to bring a dog analogy.
Yo, yes.
You have to get to the point. I've heard so many times when you're talking about dog training that it cannot be emotional. The dog, the owner, the handler, and the dog can't think you're emotional about it because the dog won't respect you.
God, I love you.
Right?
You're gonna make me cry. I love you so, like, that is a perfect.
Right? So you constantly, for decades, have been training people, don't be so emotional. It's one of the first things you told me about why I was having such problems with the dog. Mm. It's like, because the dog knows you hate him. So, like, yeah, that's what gets people all riled up, you know? And so it's the same thing in politics. And you've done that. You've mastered that, not only with a handler and a pet owner and a dog and a handler and a canine, but in the court system. You have attorneys coming after you for ridiculous things. You have people accusing you of all kinds of things. You have canine handlers getting on the stand to refute you with all kinds of nonsense. But you don't sit up there going, you're just dumb. You don't understand it. You're just stupid.
It's on the tip of my tongue. And I don't do it. You're absolutely right. Oh, my gosh. Can I marry you?
I'm taken.
What?
Kevin says earlier today must be a lacrosse day. Kevin, how did you know?
He's smart. Kevin is
Look at that.
Yeah, really smart people.
Carrie say, helps to know all of us are a threat to the wicked one. Absolutely. All of us. This little lady's praying for one another. And awesome. Poor Carrie, she did not get any sleep. Mm. And it seems like a lot of people are suffering from the sleep problem.
Yeah, I took Tylenol PM last night.
Oh, is that what helped?
Yes, and my dream on top of it all.
Right? I heard that in the middle of the night.
Yes. And so that feeling that I had yesterday, that anxiousness, that my heart palpitations and everything was gone. It was due to lack of sleep.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Prayer request to be face down after surgery. Need someone to help with Eddie an hour a day. Lots of coordination.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Back surgery.
And Iris just happened to see our notification. Yes, we are on early. It's a lacrosse day.
Yes.
And Carrie says 100% right about the world. And let's see. Racketeering. Yes, that's Rico. Carrie says stupid is a cuss word in her house.
It actually is in ours too.
Yes.
I don't like it.
Yes, he will ride the children if they say it to one another.
That's why I like saying it to people that I really despise. But I mean, that's where I get that. Because I if you say it to one of us, I'll smack you in the face. But
that is so hypocritical. But
no, because I mean it. I mean that they're stupid. And I don't like shut up either. I don't like people to say shut up in our house.
Yeah.
Those are two words, shut up and stupid.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know. I'm going to get better. I promise.
I've already got better.
Your analogy is perfect. It convinced me. It is not easy, but somehow I can control it on the stand because sometimes they are really.
Really?
Yeah.
And not only that, but they lie.
They lie like, oh my gosh.
My dog alerted, you know.
And you're going, no.
No, he didn't. And you know he didn't.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Even the judge knows.
I don't know what that just was, but I just saw that dog go whip right into the window.
My favorite always to tell the story is when the handler on the video is heard saying sit to his dog. And he said, see, my dog alerted. He goes, no, you told him to sit. What do you mean? And the judge goes, that sounds fine to me. That sounds plausible. And you go, okay. Sorry, we got a lunatic outside our door.
Lunatic, you used the word lunatic.
I know, I just joking. All right. We haven't read the scripture yet.
Dialectic. Okay, now you're pulling out your really big SAT words, Carrie. I don't know something about the
words that are chosen.
Yes, but I don't know what Hegelian. I know what a dialectic is, but I don't know what Hegelian.
She'll tell us
after we get to the scripture. So we're talking about the Apostle Paul talking about rugged men that don't compromise for the gospel, and the disciples were trying to convince him not to go to Jerusalem because he was going to be persecuted. So verse 10 starts with, and as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those who were from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when we knew he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. Mm. That is so good. That is so good. And he's like, why are you breaking my heart by trying to get me to stop?
Wow.
So. And it really, oh my God. And what you're going through with the kids now reminds me of, remember how hard a stance on same-sex attraction I took with Zara. And she tried so desperately to convince me, well, don't you love me? Don't you love me? The crying and the tears. And I was like, of course I love you. I'm standing on this ground because I love you. So you need to be able to say the same thing to our other children. I am doing this because I love you. You know, I have to stand this ground because this is the ground the Lord has given me to stand. I can be a little better about my delivery, but I cannot cede this ground. Because it's who you're called to be.
Yes.
And I think it's important for all of us, whatever field in which we're soldiers, you know, for Carrie, because I know so much more about you than some of the others, but you are a soldier in your home. You know, you're taking care of not only your own ailments, but your husband. So much responsibility put on you. And then there's these things that pull us away and that are challenges, sometimes temptations, or they're challenges from the Lord to grow us, to prune us, to draw us closer to him and to bear more fruit. John 15 is really amazing because we're going through that in our community group, and it's so amazing how relevant John 15 is right now in the pruning process and the vine and the vine dresser. But we have to be able to take the criticisms of our stance and be like, hey, I can maybe do this better. Maybe I could be nicer. Maybe I could be more compassionate, but I'm not going to cede this ground. I cannot compromise on the principles, or I will not abandon my post. So if we think of ourselves as an army in the battalions of the Lord's army, we're given certain jobs and we're given certain territory and we're given certain assignments. And we can't say, you know what, can I not defend the border? Can I just go inside? I just want to go live in Iowa and, you know, help with the sheep. No, I put you at the border. You know what I mean? So, that doesn't mean we can't learn from our post, but it does mean we don't abandon our post.
You're so full of good information.
Feeling very inspired. This pastor, Iris, asked me who the pastor was. You know what, Iris? I'm not going to say his name because he could be a little wacky sometimes. So I don't.
Like Kanye?
I don't want to advocate. I don't want to advocate for him. But sometimes, like, so I was in the habit of just listening to worship music in the morning. And then I started to listen to the news and quickly decided that was not helpful. I was during the election time, and I was like, this is just super annoying and depressing and miserable. So then now I've turned to listening to sermons in the morning, which are very inspiring. So all I'm getting to hear all different kinds of things. And so this one pastor I hear is a little more on the charismatic side. How about we say that? So I prefer not to mention it publicly. stick with the known commodities, Pastor Jack, Pastor Bob Kopany, Pastor Mark Driscoll.
Yeah. Let's see. The Three Musketeers. I was trying to think of the three people that weren't like a comedy group.
Right.
Is this the meaning?
That's a good point. I say that all the time too. Stupid makes us think we do not have a worthy foe or a worthy enemy. It's so true. Dismissing them as stupid makes it less diabolical. And it's so important to recognize the plans of the enemy. And it's not stupid, and they're not doing it because they're naive, and they're not doing it because they're ignorant. They're doing it intentionally.
Dan Bongino calls them stupid smart people.
Yeah. Dan's big on name calling.
Maybe that's why I listen to him every day.
Yes.
We agree that they're stupid smart people.
Yes.
And Carrie says...
Okay, Hegelian dialectic, philosophy on interpretive method in which the contradiction between a proposition, the thesis, and its antithesis is resolved at a higher level of truth synthesis. Carrie, okay, what?
Can you translate does that mean?
Philosophy on interpretive method in which a contradiction between a proposition and its antithesis is resolved at a higher level of truth synthesis. I got big brain, but you know, I'm stumped.
And I have a feeling Carrie just typed that off the top of her head. I'm sure she
really
didn't.
You don't think it's a Wikipedia entry?
No, I don't think she cut and paste. I think she just wrote that.
Kelly, this is her synonym. Useful idiots.
Yep, use that too quite often. Mostly in posts. But wow.
The Fairly Odd Parent video that they made of you, you weren't cussing them out, were you?
No. That's the whole thing. That's why I'm not sure what the kids were talking about, but
that's not in there.
But there's sometimes where I'll make something and then I sleep on it or wait a couple hours and I change it.
Yeah,
I have been
much better.
Yeah, much better. I often think I go, "Wow, I actually thought I was being nice. You should have heard what I really wanted to say." That was a toned down version,
right?
All right. We had a couple prayer requests, right?
All I know of was Carrie.
Okay, maybe it was just that one.
Sleep. I know Kelly. I think it was Kelly.
And then, but Eddie also for his surgery.
Yes. Yeah. Who else was asking about sleep? Yes. Kelly was also asking about sleep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. We should never forsake the assembly of the saints, Lord. And it is edifying and uplifting and it's encouraging. And we're so grateful for that, that you have made us all parts of the body. And that analogy is so important because every part of the body is useful. And you've designed us all for a purpose and an assignment here on earth as part of your heavenly battalions, Lord. And so we ask that you keep us strong and courageous, that you keep us manning our post, that you give us the wisdom and the discernment to know when to seed the ground and when to never give in, when to demonstrate compassion, when to compromise, and when there is no such thing as compromise. Lord, we stand on your word. It is a firm foundation. It is the guiding light of our lives, and we ask that you engrave it on our hearts. Lord, it is a time of difficulty. As the end times approach, we suffer from more attacks of the enemy, and we ask for your restoration. We ask for restful sleep. It seems that the enemy is able to discourage us and distract us. With restlessness and with the inability to sleep, a restorative sleep, Lord. So I pray for that heavenly peace that allows us to sleep restful in the arms of Jesus, knowing that he has it all under control, that everything is part of his plan, that his heavenly armies guard our homes, our minds and our thoughts. We ask for dreams and visions, Lord, that will comfort us, that will tell us of the future, that will empower us, that will encourage us, and protection for our families and our loved ones, Lord, and for healing and restoration of sicknesses, for Eddie and his sickness, and for Carrie and her eyesight, and all of those listening under the sound of my voice that are suffering from one ailment or another, Lord, you are the great physician. We ask for your healing powers and for your restoration. We love you. We honor you with all that we do. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Lie until people believe the lie. Yeah, there you go. There's that too.
That's actually what they're doing right now, like crazy.
Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends. Thank you very much. Thank you for your words of wisdom today, Schnoots.
Wow, thank you.
It was awesome. And thank you for all of you. And thank you for Carrie's word of
but we're going to look at a Hegelian dialectic. Deep thought.
We'll have to figure that one out. All right, my friends. We love you guys. God bless.
God bless. Take care.